As always, I want to go back and just kind of catch up a little bit, but in Luke 12, we had started talking about he gave the parable of the rich fool, and we talked about the importance of attitude and the importance in verse 21 of laying up treasure toward God and not for ourselves. And right with that, of course, he follows with don't worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, because life's more than food and the body's more than clothing. So when he's talking about worry here, when he's talking about anxiety, he's talking about, in this context anyway, about not having anxiety about your riches, your possessions, your money, those type of things. He said, and he gives a lot of examples, and we talked about the ravens and how the ravens, they're not concerned about sowing or reaping. They don't have to go, they don't stay up late at night wondering how the bills are going to be paid. Why? Because God takes care of them. That's what he says. God feeds them. He says, don't you think you're of more value than birds? It's a pretty straightforward way of putting it, isn't it? Don't you think you're more valuable than birds? Gives another example. You can add one cubit to your stature. And it's interesting there, and I didn't realize that until this week, that the word cubit there actually has two very different meanings. One is the one we typically think about when we think about a length of something. You know, we talk about Noah's Ark being so many cubits long. Well, the word cubit also has to do with time. And really, that seems to be the context. Not adding one cubit to your height, because that doesn't really make sense in the context. What does make sense in the context is you can't add 1 hour to the length of your life. And that's the context. He says, don't worry about the time you're on earth, and we're going to read James where he talks about the same thing in a minute, but don't worry about the length of time you're on earth, or don't imagine that you can somehow extend your life because you have no idea how long you're going to live. And that seems to be the context. You can't do anything about how long you're going to live on earth. You can't add any time to your life. So don't worry about that. He says, if you're not able to even do the least, why are you anxious about the rest of the stuff? See, that's what he's saying. If you can't even do those things and you can't take care of those things, you can't add any time to your life, or you can't add any height to how tall you are, anything else. You can't even do those things like that. Then why be concerned about the rest of it? If you can't even do the smallest things, then don't be concerned about all these other things. And again, it's all in the context of possessions and money and what you have. It all, of course, is about the rich fool. That's what started it all. You know, it's about the rich fool. So then he talks about the lilies. You know, they're not concerned about how they look. They don't get up in the morning worrying about how they look, if they have the right clothes on, or if they're wearing the right shoes. They're not worried about those things. But yet, he says, even Solomon, who had more money than anybody on earth and could wear solid gold all the time, doesn't look as good as the lilies. So if God clothes the grass, which today is in the field, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? He says, worrying about all of those things that has to do with money and possessions, he says, None of those things should keep you, and this is the whole point, you can't let the pursuit of those things, your lust for them, get in the way of your Christian life, of following Christ. That's what it's all about. He says you can't let those things take up your time, take up your heart, take up your mind, and any of those things. He says you're always supposed to be considering the things of God first. You know, set your mind on things above, Colossians 4. Or it might be 3, I don't remember. That's what he wants people to focus on. That's what Jesus is trying to get these people here to understand, is that don't spend your entire life pursuing riches. It's okay to be rich. He has no problem with being rich. He has no problem with you having money or making more money. But he says, if that ever keeps you from following Christ, following God, then it's become sinful. And he says, you've got to give that up. You've got to get away from that. And it's an order. So this inordinate desire, I think one translation I was reading yesterday, that's how it translated. An inordinate desire for more. Which is a lust. That's basically what it is. Your lust for more keeps people from doing the things of God. Keeps them from doing what God wants them to do. So being anxious for those things doesn't solve any problems, doesn't help anything at all, and Christians aren't supposed to be like that. So he says that he's going to take care of all these things. He says, don't have an anxious mind. That's an interesting phrase. Don't have an anxious mind. Don't be tormented about this. That's the idea. Don't be tormented. Don't be pulled in two. And I don't remember if this is the one, the place or not. Well, I can't find it. But one of the places is the word that we get dichotomy from. You know, being split in two. If you can't follow God completely, if your mind is split. In other words, if part of you is more concerned about getting more and more and more, then the other part of you is trying to follow God, he says, you can't have that. He says it's not going to work. So your mind can't be split. He says, that's what unbelievers, that's what pagans, that's what they're about. And of course we see in our world, that's what people do. People that aren't following Christ are absolutely just totally overwhelmed with more and more and more. Where the things that are important are left out. And that's what he doesn't want his followers to do. And that's why he says, seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Don't fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Because that's what's important. You know, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. But it's about the things of God. It's about pursuing the kind of life God wants you to have. A virtuous life, a life of honor, and a life of honesty and truth. That's the kind of life he wants you to pursue. And if you can do that and still have wealth, that's fine. But it's when wealth takes over your life and you're no longer concerned about a life of honesty and right living and virtue. That's where it becomes wrong. So he says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. I love, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. Money bags which do not grow old. A money bag that grows old is one that you stick money in and you never, ever open it. So he's telling his followers, the money you have, make sure you open it. Make sure you open your purse. Make sure you open your wallet and are generous. That's what he's getting at here, is generosity. Because being blessed and real happiness and joy and peace comes from sharing with other people. See, the rich fool didn't share with anybody. The rich fool was only concerned about his money bags being full, more full, more full, more full, and not sharing with anybody. He should have been concerned about sharing some of that with other people, but he wasn't. And that's why he was called a fool. He wasn't called a fool because he had a lot of wealth. He was called a fool because he didn't share it with anybody. And that's where it was wrong. Because he didn't share it. He wasn't concerned about other people. And sharing it with other people is how you're going to lay up treasures in heaven. Because he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, your treasure has to be in people. Your treasure needs to be in people. And doing what you can for people instead of everything about yourself. Because if that's what you're treasuring, that's where your heart's going to be. And he says that's what you have to be careful about, not setting your heart on food and drink and things like that. He says it has to be in other people. That's why the wise man said, ask God for neither poverty nor riches. Because both of those can lead us into temptation. Poverty can lead you into temptation. Riches can lead you into temptation. So, understanding that both of those can be, they don't have to be, but they can be great areas of temptation, and that's why he warns us about it. It's been calculated that every sixth word that came out of Jesus' mouth that we have recorded was about money and possessions. Every sixth word. That's a lot. And I think the reason for that is he knew what kind of trouble it can get people into if they don't have the right attitude about it. And he continues, the same thought, you know, goes all the way down to verse 48. He says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, and when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Surely I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Now, he has not switched topics. He's still talking about having your priorities right on earth. He's still talking about putting your treasure in people. He's still talking about what are you passionate about. But he just simply changes how we're supposed to be concerned about him. Because now he's talking about being watchful and being alert. Because people's desire for more of the world can cause them to think about worldly things and not be ready and alert for when Jesus comes. Because that's what he's leading to here in these passages, is about his second coming. You can be so caught up in making a living and in getting more and more and being concerned about your passions that you're not ready when he comes. So it's about being spiritually alert. Riches can blind you, if you let them, to what's important, to being ready. And that's what he's warning these people about, is, again, having the proper attitude. So he says, let your waist be girded. Waist be girded. Of course, we have to go back to the first century. You know, people wore very long robes, and they would have their, if you want to call it a girdle around the middle, a rope around the middle. And if they were going to be involved in activity of some kind, especially a hurried activity, they would have to gather up the bottom of their robes and tuck them into their belt, their girdle, their rope, so that they were freer to move. So he says, let your waist be girded. In other words, be ready. That's what he's saying. Be ready. Why? Because you don't know when the Master's coming back. You don't know when Christ is coming back. And you don't want to be wrapped up so much with this world and its trappings that your robe is to the ground and you're not ready. See, that's what he's warning about. He says your pursuit of all the wrong things can bind you so much that you're not ready for when he comes. See, it's about watchfulness. It's about being alert, about having the right attitude, because things of the world can keep you from not being prepared. And so that's the first thing he talks to them about. And your lamp's burning. Make sure your wicks are trimmed, right? Because if you don't trim your wicks, the little carbon deposits that's from the wick being burnt, those can, if you don't trim them, can fall down and put out the light, put out the fire. So he says, again, it's about being alert, being ready, being watchful, because you don't know when it's going to be when it's going to happen. And he says, and you yourselves be like men as opposed to boys. So be mature, all right? Be mature. Don't play at your Christianity. You know, the older students get, we expect them to be able to do more on their own. I mean, we expect a fifth grader to be able to do a lot more than a kindergartner. Well, that's what he's talking about here. You need to be acting like men, mature, older people, as opposed to an infant. You need to be doing these things and being ready and thinking along these lines so that you don't have to be supervised all the time. So that people don't have to constantly be telling you, this life's not about amassing great possessions and things of this world. He says, be like men, understand that that's your responsibility, and people should have to constantly be reminding you about what is important in this world. So act like men. All right? Act like men. Remember, Paul used that toward the end of one of his letters. He says, you don't know when he's going to return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open him immediately. So be ready. Be ready. If he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And of course, these are probably Roman watches as opposed to Jewish watches. The Jewish watch was basically like three watches. The Romans was four. And so this would be like, like midnight to 3 a.m., the time when you would least be ready. When you'd least be ready. So if you're ready during the time when you're least ready, you're going to be ready. So be ready. Be alert at all times. Because, he says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. That phrase about being broken into, these houses in Palestine were basically kind of like adobe houses, and the thieves could actually, you know, dig their way through the wall. And that's the phrase he's using into when he talks about broken into. He says, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, what's he going to be doing? Watching for the thief. So again, be ready. Be ready at all times. You don't know when the thief is coming. You don't know the time of day, the season of the year, you know, nothing at all. So you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. You have no idea when he's coming. You can't anticipate it. Therefore, alertness. But see, this goes back to the rich fool. This all goes back to the parable of the rich fool, because the rich fool didn't what? Didn't know his soul was going to be required of him that night. He thought he had all this time. He thought he had all this time to, you know, to eat, drink, and be merry, to enjoy all of these things. And he was going to be, he was going to die that very night. See, he wasn't being watchful. He wasn't ready. He wasn't being alert. He had let all of the things of the world totally blind him to the fact that he had no time left. He had none whatsoever. And he was going to have to give it all up that day, and he wasn't ready for it. Just like the rich man in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man was not prepared to die that day. Wasn't prepared at all. And because he wasn't prepared, that's why the Bible says there in Luke 16 that he was lifted up his eyes in torments. He had had all of this wealth and riches, and he didn't share, or he wasn't generous with anybody. And he wasn't ready. If he would have shared and been generous with his riches, he would have been alert and watchful, and he wouldn't have lifted up his eyes in torments. But he did, because he'd spent his whole life just about himself. That was his whole life. It was all about himself. So this rich fool here and the rich man in the parable had the same problem. They were blinded by their riches and possessions. And that's all they could see. They couldn't see down the road. They couldn't see the next life. They couldn't see their neighbor who needed help. They couldn't see the beggar who they passed every day that needed help. Yeah, their eyes might have actually seen them, but it never got into their mind, their will, their emotions, their heart, that they had the capability, the resources to actually do some good. And that's why they were blinded. And that's why neither one was ready. And that's why they ended up where they ended up. Because the riches blinded them to the world around them. And of course that is just as true today as it was in the first century. No difference whatsoever. And so Jesus, you know, we might think he's belaboring the point. No, he knew that this was one of the man's worst problems. One of man's worst problems always has been the love of money. And we'll talk more about that in the morning sermon. You mean I'm going to belabor it some more? Oh, yeah. We sure are. Well, that's probably a good place to start, because then Peter asked a question. Do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? Lord willing, that will be where we go next Sunday morning.